This morning and turn with me to the book of James and the third chapter. James, the third chapter. This morning, and if it be the Lord's will, next morning as well, next Sunday morning, we will momentarily depart from the book of John. We will just step back from our verse-by-verse study of the book of John this Sunday morning, and I believe next Sunday morning as well. Tonight and next Sunday night, we'll be back in the book of John. But we're going to step away just for a little while to look at some sometimes forgotten truths of God's Word. Let's read in chapter 3. Let's read the entire chapter in James chapter 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Dear God, just once more, we come to you and ask your help. I ask for your help to preach your word correctly this morning. And we all ask for your help to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last evening we looked at, in John chapter 10, we looked at the shepherd and how he looks out for and cares for the sheep. And a shepherd must be vigilant. He must watch the horizon for incoming danger. He has to watch and see if any wolves or other animals or thieves are coming over the hill, are approaching the flock. He has to guard the flock. And anything that would harm one sheep or anything that would harm the entire flock, which by the way, very often, something that will harm one sheep will harm the entire flock. Anything that would harm a sheep or the flock needs to be dealt with. I preach to no particular person this morning. I preach to this flock, this tender flock that we have. And I preach to myself as the under-shepherd of this flock. We need to be reminded this morning of a few simple truths. One of the things that will destroy a church, destroy a home, destroy a family, destroy a friendship, One of the things that will destroy an office, a school. One thing that will destroy faster than many other things, the work that we do here. The gospel work that needs to be done. And the individuals. One thing that will destroy all of those faster than most is a gossiping, mean-spirited, griping, complaining tongue. I want us to look this morning at a few things. We're going to look at a few things here in the book of James. And then we're going to go to a couple other places. And what we're going to try to do is do some damage control. We're going to try to head some things off at the pass before we have a raging fire on our hands and irreversible damage to our church. First of all, we look at the book of James in this third chapter, and we see three things that can be accomplished with the tongue. First of all, in verses 3 through 5, we see that the tongue has the power to direct. It has the power to direct. We're told here, and we've seen this over and over again, that you take a bit. If you've never been around horses and never actually seen a bit, the piece that actually goes in the horse's mouth is only about that long. And it's about as big around as my index finger. And then it has two metal pieces hooked to the side that come back and you tie the reins onto that. And that great big animal will do whatever you tell him to do when you have that bit in his mouth. Far more than just a bridle. There's something about having that bit in his mouth. You could turn that whole horse whichever way you want, leading wherever you want when you have that thing in his mouth. That tiny little thing can turn that giant animal. A ship, the rudder of a ship is very small. I have a boat, and that boat is about 12 feet long. It's a metal boat, and sometimes I put a little trolling motor on it, and the blades on that little prop are only about that long, about that wide. Compared to the rest of the boat, it's pretty small. And it's attached to a metal rod about that big around. And I turn that thing, and I'm going to that side of the lake. And I turn it, and I'm going to that side of the lake. It only takes something very small. You take a look at a whale, how big that whale is, and then you look at how, in comparison to the rest of their body, that tail fin is not very big compared to the rest of their body. And that's how he guides himself through the water. The point is this, very small things can often direct great things. And of all the members of our body, the tongue is not a very big member. Compared to the rest of our head, it's just a small part. Compared to the body, it's very small. But that little piece of flesh, about that long, about that wide, about that thick, give or take a little bit, that little piece of flesh can, like a bit in a horse's mouth and a helm on a ship, change the course of an entire church, an entire family, a workplace. That little tongue, with only a few words spoken at the right time, you may point someone in the right direction. At the same time, with only a few wrong words, you may start a fire of great trouble, discouragement, and pain. Isn't it something that to protect our ears, God gave us a thin flap of skin? Think about your eyelids. You realize how thin your eyelid, you realize how important your eyes are and how thin that eyelid is? We've got a tiny little piece of skin to protect these eyes. To protect the ears, the eardrums down inside of our ears. Basically, we have some small follicles of hair But he put our tongue behind a double gate. Locked our tongue behind a row, two sets of teeth, or a set is two, so a set of teeth, two rows of teeth, and then covered that with two lips. Took that little tongue and put it behind a double gate. I don't know if there's anything significant to that or not, but you can't help but notice it. Boy, that tongue's locked away back there. The eyes are right here, the ears right there. Boy, that tongue locked away. It has the power to direct. It doesn't take much. Only takes a little bit. The tongue also has the power to destroy. In verses 6 through 9, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That's why words hurt. We were taught when we were growing up to tell people, and we did this as little kids, we would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Maybe one of the biggest lies we were ever told when we were growing up. Mom, Dad, if that's true, why do those words hurt so bad then? Here's one that we used to use. This might be a little more recent. Somebody would say something and we would say, I'm rubber, you're glue. What you say bounces off me and sticks to you. We used to go around, we were little kids in school saying that. And we'd act like, you know, you just act like, oh, you don't care. Well, why did you get so mad then? Why did it hurt? Why'd you lose friends? Because your words do matter. Our words do matter. It absolutely matters. What we say matters. This tongue, the Bible tells us, is a fire, a world of iniquity. Fire hurts. The Bible says, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. God does not have anything nice to say about our tongues. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Well, if I can't tame it, why even bother? If I can, it says no man can tame it. Not my fault. Can't help it. No man can tame it, but the God-man can tame it. Christ Jesus can tame your tongue. You let Christ Jesus have control of your tongue and He can tame it. It's not within us. We just turn that thing loose. We just turn that thing loose and let it go. And some of us, if we were to put a clothespin on the end of our tongues, we would beat our own brains out because that thing is constantly running. I heard a preacher say one time that a woman came forward and said, she'd been gossiping, I guess, and she said, I want to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, it's not near long enough. Now, how many of us could that be said of? Okay? It's a world of iniquity. Fire is one of the most dangerous substances on earth. We know that. You ever noticed how quickly it can spread and how quickly it gets out of control to the point that you can't do anything about it? Remember just a couple years ago, somebody thought that they would be mischievous or whatever it was they had in mind, but they're pretty sure that the fires down in Gatlinburg in the Smoky Mountains were caused by arson. Have you seen the kind of damage that was done down there? You don't even have to go down there. You just look it up. Terrible. Complete. I mean, foundations are all that's left of a lot of homes people might never be able to rebuild. Fire gets out of control so fast, and it's so dangerous. And I can remember when I was a kid, one time my grandfather was burning some weeds off on the side of one of the fields that he used to put soybeans in. And he was out there burning it off, and my grandfather was an intelligent man and was very careful, and but he was messing with fire, and he was burning these weeds off, and it just, I guess a wind came up. Next thing I knew, the fire department was on the farm. Got out of hand that fast. Field was catching on fire. They caught it in time. It didn't get too bad, but fire department had to come. Well, it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. It just takes a, I mean, before you, if you've ever had it happen to you, you know that 1 second you've got that fire in control, and 3 seconds later, your heart's racing. You're panicking. You're scared. It's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Yeah, we could do some good with it. We can also do some good with our tongue. Often the damage that's done by a fire is irreversible. I know children who have been burned, and the doctors did the best they could to fix them up, but they're going to carry those scars. We have some good friends. Their son, he's out of high school now, but when he was little, he tripped and fell in a campfire, and he will forever have the scars on his shoulder and on his face there. We have a family member, a niece that was burned severely, and it's been years. She's a teenager now. She was about 3 or 4 when it happened, and she's a teenager now, and you could still see they did the best they could, but some of it can't be fixed. And then sometimes fire will cause damage that over time can be fixed, but it takes a while. There's not a one of us in here who isn't familiar with Smokey the Bear when we were in school. Remember, they bring somebody in dressed up as Smokey. They gave us comic books. Smokey, there are still billboards here in Terre Haute with Smokey. Smokey used to warn us about forest fires. Now he warns us about wildfires. But he's still warning people. And what did Smokey always teach us? One little match is all it takes. One little ember from your fire is all it takes. That was drilled into our heads growing up. There's not a person in here that doesn't know his slogan. Only you can prevent forest fires. We know that. That's been drilled into our head. It only takes a little bit. Only takes a little bit. Only takes a little bit, and then it gets out of control. Hey, but look. A forest can regrow. Animals will repopulate that forest. Homes can be rebuilt. But a lot of times the damage we do with our tongue might not get fixed this side of heaven. Sometimes a church damaged by the tongue, by gossip, by griping, by complaining, sometimes it's hurt so bad it never recovers. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. It's something how we will be so careful with those matches, so careful with our campfires, knowing, hey, these woods, if they caught on fire, that'd be bad. Somebody could die. But we let this fire rage. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. And on top of that, we dump fuel on it by getting around the wrong kind of people who just, here, I'll dump some fuel on yours and you dump some fuel on mine. It has the power to destroy. The tongue also has the power to delight in verses 10 through 12. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. So see, we can do something good with our words. It doesn't have to be cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know why? Because it's hypocritical. It isn't right. I say something pleasant about you when you're here and something terrible about you when you're gone. Blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works of meekness and of wisdom. Look, our tongue has the power to direct, it has the power to destroy, but it also has the power to delight. Why is it that this one thing that our tongue can do, encourage people, exhort people, help people, comfort people, give people the gospel, be good to people. Why is it that that is the one that we have to work so hard at? But we'll let the fire of gossip and backbiting and tail-bearing, we'll let that fire rage. It ought not to be. In verses 13 through 18, I know we're scooting through this, but we have a couple other passages elsewhere in Scripture that we need to look at. But in verses 13 through 18, God's people are encouraged. God's people are to encourage, to help, and to work alongside of one another for the furtherance of the gospel. How can this be accomplished with divisions, gossip, slander, and a lack of unity? If it be the Lord's will, I'll preach next Sunday morning on unity in the church. But this morning we deal with this matter of the tongue. How can we move forward? How can we get the gospel out and help each other and lead lost people to salvation if we're so busy letting that fire rage? It causes such divisions. Look at verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. If you've got this going on, if there's this bitter envying and strife and talking and gossiping and it doesn't even have to be mean. It doesn't even have to be, it could just be you're talking about stuff that you don't know anything about. It could just be that you're sharing stories that you don't know the whole story. It could just be that you're talking about something that has nothing to do with you. You weren't involved and there's nothing to be gained. The list goes on and on. You see, oftentimes we think of gossip as just, we think of it as lies because we say, now this isn't gossip, it's the truth. That's not the only thing that makes it gossip. It might be the truth, but there's nothing to be gained by spreading it, or it had nothing to do with you, or you don't know if it's the truth or not, or maybe it's the truth, but it's not all of the truth and you don't know it. All of those things make it gossip, make it wrong. It doesn't just have to be a lie to be gossip. I believe that most often, that most of the time, gossip ends up being a lot of fact, but not all of the facts, or not all of the facts correctly spoken, or just people talking about stuff that it doesn't concern them, and they don't have the full story, and it doesn't have anything to do with them. If we have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie against the truth. Admit it. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. You know why sometimes, you know, one of the ways that a church is damaged by the tongue? Yeah, well, I heard. Yeah, but he said. Yeah, but that's not the way she said it. Yeah, but I was there and I heard him say this. What do you have? Confusion in every evil work. And church, I'm telling you, I don't care how hard you try. This is how people are. This person says this, this person says that, that one over here says this, this one over here says that. Here's what people do. I'll take that one. I'll believe that one. And oftentimes, it's not because a person steps back and says, now wait a minute. I got two people here. Have I ever known either one to to lie to me. This one has I don't know this person to lie. I haven't always been able to trust this one. But what they have to say is so, there's a lot more dirt there. There's a lot more juice there. There's more fuel there. Rarely do we step back and examine and say, what is the truth? How should I deal with this? Most often people say, I like that one. Well, he's my friend. She's my friend. I'm sure that what they're saying is right. Hey, what they're saying might be true, but they just don't have any business saying it. Or maybe it isn't true. I want you to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 11. And I want to finish this up by looking at a couple of words. And then we're going to find the remedy. And the remedy might be something that you aren't familiar with. It might be something that you didn't realize was the remedy and how God tells us to deal with some of this. But it's still His remedy. Pardon me. The Bible talks about tale bearers and tale bearing. Let's define a tale bearer. It's a person who officiously tells tales, one who impertinently communicates intelligence or anecdotes. Now listen, and makes mischief in society by his officiousness. Someone who tells things. Notice in the definition it doesn't say whether it's true or not, but he tells things for the purpose of causing mischief, for the purpose of causing strife. You know what gossips love? They love to get people on their side. Gossips love converts. If they can get you to agree and to say the same things, and to talk about somebody, oh, they love it. They love converts. Proverbs chapter 11. Hey, Solomon, God, through the pen of Solomon, had much to say about it. Wonder how God feels about this tale-bearing. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. A tale-bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. This might sound blunt, but I don't mean it to be rude. It just needs to be said this way. Okay? You ready? People just don't know how to keep their mouths shut. People just don't know how to shut their mouths. Pastor, say close. Say be quiet. No, people don't know how to shut the double gate of their mouth. And he says right here, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The one who has a faithful spirit knows. I don't have any business talking about this. This has nothing to do with the person I'm talking to. I have no business talking to this person about this thing. Go over to chapter 18, Proverbs 18. Is it really that bad? Yes, it's really that bad. Okay, if you don't know from James how bad it is, you might never know. If that language can't wake us up, it's a fire set on fire of hell. If that doesn't wake us up to the seriousness of our tongues, the seriousness of the words that we use, and it might be gossip, and it might just be something that you say to something. It might not be gossip, but it might just be rudeness. It might just be meanness. It might just be something negative to somebody. It could be anything. We're dealing more with tale-bearing this morning, but it goes beyond that. Just our speech to one another. If you're not sure how serious this is, you have to know by the time we get done with Proverbs here. 18 and verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That's why it isn't true that words can never hurt me. I would rather have the sticks and the stones, because those bruises will heal a lot faster than the wounds caused by a talebearer. Sometimes it doesn't get fixed this side of heaven. Go over there to 20 and look at verse 19. Church, we need to take this seriously. 20 and verse 19, he that goeth about. That's what talebearers do. That's what gossips do. They go about. They look for opportunities. They go and find opportunities to tell their tales. They goeth about. Okay? It says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. We're starting to see the answer here. How do we deal with this? Okay, we're starting to see it. What am I supposed to do? And then go to 26 and verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. When that person who's gossiping and telling everything, when they're dealt with or they're put away or whatever it is, if it's you, if it's me, and we knock it off and we get it right with God, the strife goes away. Because people aren't talking about each other and stirring up things. What do we do about it? Well, the first thing that we do about it is we look at ourselves. We covered this in James. And we make sure we aren't doing it. We make sure we watch our tongues. We make sure we are not contributing to it. We make sure that we are not the ones doing it. That's the first thing, okay? You can't change the other person. You can't tame their tongue. You can do something about yours, right? So first we say, right here. Not going to come out of here. Now I might not be able to change somebody else's tongue, but what can I do? The Bible does not leave me helpless here. The Bible makes it clear what we can do. Go back there again to 20. Hold your place there where you're at in 26, but go back to 20. Let's read these again. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Don't talk to them. Don't take part. Don't listen. Don't get drawn into it. Have nothing to do with it. First we deal with our tongue, and then when it's somebody else's tongue, don't listen. Don't have anything to do with it. That's not the only thing. What did we see there in 26 and verse 20? We see the result of that. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. See? You don't add wood to the fire and there'll be no fire. It'll die out. Now, look at 25, Proverbs 25. And church, let me say this. Right here is one of our biggest problems in dealing with other people's tongues. I'm absolutely convinced that most Christians are not willing to do what God says to do in this verse we're about to read. I'm absolutely convinced that most Christians just don't have it in them. Well, we do have it in them if we do have it in us if we're saved because we have the Holy Spirit. Most Christians, I believe, will not take this step. But God tells us this is how to deal with it. Okay, so we make sure we're not doing it. We don't take part in it. We don't listen to it. Now look, 25:23. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. The north wind driveth away rain. So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. What's he saying? What's God saying? Okay? Somebody's tail-bearing, they're talking, they're griping, they're gossiping, they're complaining, whatever they're doing. And if we're not taking part in it, what do we oftentimes do? This. And then later on we say, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't encourage that person. I didn't add to it. I just... Okay, for one, do you realize that to a talebearer, to a backbiter, your silence and any nod that you give to them looks like confirmation, like you're condoning. You never said that you didn't say anything though. I just stood there. And that's the problem. What's this verse telling us to do? That with our response, we can put this stuff away. If someone came to your door, wanted to come into your house, had a case of booze, had a bag of dope, came into your house, said, hey, let's watch this movie. It was some filthy movie. Came in, sat in your living room, started using the most ungodly language you'd ever heard right there in your family. How many of us would say, well, I just didn't say anything? No, what would you say? No, you're not bringing that in here. Hey, don't talk that way in my house. Hey, get that garbage out of here. What God is telling us here is that with the same attitude that we have toward the rest of sin, we are to address this sin. When someone is trying to gossip to you or tell a tale or just get you, whatever, this verse is telling us to put our foot down. It's not saying be mean to people. It's not saying be hateful to people. This verse is telling us, put your foot down and let the person know firmly, no, that we're not going to talk about that. The same way that you would show your displeasure toward any other sin, is this not a sin as well? Oh boy, if you don't know by now, after everything we've read, we have to know by now how serious of a sin this is. The same way that we let people know, nope, not in this house. No, I don't want to have anything to do with that. We are to put our foot down and let people know, uh-uh. It's not meanness, it's not rudeness, it's not hatefulness. But he calls it an angry countenance. Does sin make you angry? It does me. I'm sure it does you. Sin makes Christians angry. We hate sin. We hate the effects of sin. Well, why, when it comes to this sin of the tongue and gossip and talebearing and backbiting, why is that one all of a sudden we... I just didn't say anything. He's telling us, if we will let the backbiter know with our countenance, uh-uh, no, we're not going to have that. Just like we're not going to have any other sin in this church, in our homes, wherever, not going to have it. He says, it'll drive it away. The same way that the north wind will drive away the rain, if we would be firm and let people know, no, I hate gossip. You would tell somebody, no, I don't allow any booze in this house. I hate that poison. James said that the tongue's full of poison. We just read it. if Clayson was playing with matches or something, I wouldn't run it. Clayson, you probably ought to put those down now. No, I'd smack them out of his hand. I'd stomp on those matches. And I'd let him know, no, we don't do that. You could burn this house down. But we'll let other people into our homes and into our cars and here at church and at work, and they just let that fire go. And we just, boy, just let it rage, don't we? This verse tells us, let people know the angry countenance. It's not meanness, not hatefulness. He's saying, let it show how displeased you are. And if people quit getting the silent treatment, well, if I just don't talk to them, that doesn't stop them. If people would realize, hey, they really don't like it when I say that. They really don't like it whenever I talk about people. They really don't like it whenever I do that. This scripture, this verse says it'll drive it away. Now there's one more word and we'll close with this one. Backbiter, backbiting. A backbiter is one who slanders or speaks ill. Listen, here's what the definition says. Of the absent. Of the absent. And that's where most of it takes place, doesn't it? You know what will shut down a lot of that talk faster than anything? Somebody says something. Hang on a minute. Let me go get that person. No. Wait. No, never mind. Well, no. They'll just deny it. Let me go ask them because that doesn't sound right. Well, you can, but you didn't hear it from me. Well, you can, but they're just going to deny it. You know what'll shut it down faster than anything? As soon as they start. Look, does that mean you have to be present every time? Can you not talk about somebody unless they're there? Well, of course you can. We do it all the time. We're talking about gossip and talebearing and slander and things like that. We can sit around and talk about each other all we want if we're talking about the right kind of things. I stood up here this morning, told you all about taking Michael to Indianapolis. He wasn't here. That wasn't gossip. It wasn't slander. It was a good report about Michael. We talk about people all the time. Well, you know, so-and-so, the other day we went fishing and did this and had a good time. And when it's gossip and talebearing and slandering, let's go get that person. You better make way for the door. You see, people have a lot to say until the person they have it to say about is in the room or that person gets close. Here's a good rule of thumb. Would you say it or listen to it in the presence of the one that you're talking about? Go to Romans chapter 1 and let me show you something about this backbiting. And then we'll close. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse, 29, beginning 29. I want you to look at this. Paul is talking about lost people here, okay? And he's listing some of the things that lost people do. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Gossip has its own sound, doesn't it? What's next? Backbiters. Haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you want to be in that list? Do you want to be in that crowd? No, he says whispers and backbiters are in that crowd. Nah, I don't want to be associated with that group. I want to close like this. We've looked this morning at what the tongue can do. It can direct, it can destroy, it can delight. It's a little children's song. Got to bring back these children's songs because many of us have forgotten the lessons we learned from them. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little lips, what you say, or tongue or mouth, whatever it is. I forget how that one goes. Be careful, little hands, what you do. A lot of grown-up Christians need to be reminded of our little nursery rhymes, our little Bible nursery songs, don't we? Be careful, little lips, what you say. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. We've looked at James. Boy, that tongue. Wretched, wretched, wretched thing. I can't tame it. I can only tame it through the power of the Holy Spirit and obedience to Him. He's going to have to help me tame that thing. What am I going to use it for? Tail-bearing, backbiting, kills churches, kills families, tears up friendships, sometimes beyond repair. Come on. You have probably forgotten a lot of wounds that you've gotten, a lot of bike wrecks that you've had, and bumps and bruises and scrapes because they went away. You remember some of them that leave scars, but you just say, yes. We laugh about a lot of them. Oh, you know how I got this one? You know how I got that one? But how easy is it to forget when somebody gossiped about you? Backbiting, tailbearing, meanness, hatefulness, rudeness. How easy is it to forget that? There's a reason people say, I'd rather they chop my hand off than to talk to me like that. There's a reason. Physical pain goes away and we forget about it a lot of times. The wounds of a talebearer go to the innermost parts of the belly, we just read this morning. And then what are we doing? We're dealing with not being bitter and trying to get those things fixed. How are you using your tongue is the question this morning. How are you using your ears? What are you saying? What are you talking about? Who are you talking to? Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? What are we repeating? You know, God knows, and if there's somebody else involved, they know too. Are you helping or hurting the flock? Are you helping or are you hurting the work of God that we're trying to do in this body? I want to encourage you in a few ways. First of all, if the Holy Spirit has convicted you, and by now you'd know if He is. If the Holy Spirit has convicted you in this matter, whether it's you're doing the talking, you're doing the listening, you're doing both, and maybe even it's things that are true, but it's just, you know what? I just didn't have any business saying it because it's none of my business and it doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't matter. All these different scenarios, aren't there? It doesn't matter. I'm saying if the Holy Spirit has convicted any of us, first of all, we need to get things right with our Savior, right with our Father, and resolve, that's it, I'm done with that. No more of that. And I'm going to let people know. I'm going to let people know, hey, I don't want gossip anymore. I worked with a teacher one time. We were very close. She had two of our kids in her class. Had we stayed in the public school, she would have had Ashton as well. She and I just got on a we were not happy with the administration, and we just got on a bad, bad, I mean, we were just bad. Just griping about everything and complaining about everything. And it wasn't easy to do. Oh, the griping was. It wasn't easy, but I, one day, God had been dealing with me on this, and I went to her, and I said, I don't like how we've been griping about everybody and complaining and gossiping. And she said, you're right. I said, from now on, when one of us starts doing that, we need to shut the other one up. So we started doing this thing where when one of us would start to get down that path, the other one would go, hip! And we'd... Okay? Look... If God is convicting you in that area, get it taken care of. Lord, I'm sorry for this backbiting and this talking and just all this. I'm sorry. Doesn't matter if you've been doing the talking, the listening, or both. Get it right with God today. Resolve to be done with it. For the sake of your own growth in Christ, for the sake of this church, for the sake of your home. One thing I didn't say much about, but let me say it. If you have a complaining, griping tongue, maybe you gripe to your spouse, gripe about your spouse, complain to this person, complain about that over there, that's just as bad. Nobody wants to be around it. Nobody wants to hear the griping and the complaining. Okay? You bring people down doing those things. Now, if we've dealt with that, now the next step is we got to let people know. We got to start, yep. People start saying things. We're going to have to, no. Okay, we're going to have to let people know we're done with it. If you drank and you stopped drinking, you would let the people around you know, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going with you to do that. You're not bringing it to my house. Well, if you got a problem with the tongue and you're not going to have that problem anymore, you're going to have to let people around you know, I love you. We can talk about all kinds of wonderful things, but we're not going to talk like that anymore. Whatever your problem is with the tongue this morning, if you have a problem, whatever it is, whether it's just the griping or just the complaining or you're just negative or it's gossip or it's terrible, whatever, get it right with God. Let people know, I'm not doing that anymore. Here's another step. You may have to go to some people that you've hurt or offended. I've been there. I've done it. It's not easy, but it's so wonderful. It's such a release, and it brings you closer to that person. You may have to go to somebody and say, hey, I'm sorry about this. Okay? You won't regret it, all right? There may be some people you have to go and you have to deal with. Now, one more thing before we close. I'm absolutely guilty as your pastor of this sin since I have been here as your pastor. Your pastor has a tongue that's set on fire of hell too. I know you thought I didn't when I came. Because pastors aren't supposed to have problems too, aren't they? Are they? I said when I started, I'm preaching to all of us and me. God has been convicting me over this, smiting me over this as well. I, as your pastor sometimes, I might say something rude to one of you. I might say something negative. I might say something to when you're not around that I shouldn't say. Okay? I've had this problem too. I'm telling you that for a couple of reasons. For one, there's no sense in anybody in here thinking that the pastor doesn't have problems too. Two, I tell you that to tell you, I'm sorry. If I've hurt you with my tongue, I'm sorry. I love you. I love every one of you. You're the only family that we have. And if my tongue has been the cause, I'm very sorry. I let it get away too. The other thing that I want to tell you is this. If anyone in here, you need to know this, has a question or a concern or something that you just don't understand or something that you heard, and you can talk to your pastor. You can come and ask me. I would love to talk to you. There have been times when I have, things kind of come around, and I don't hear any names, but something comes around and I find that somebody's got a question. I don't know who it is. I just know that there's a question. And I always think, well, why don't they ask me? I'll answer. If I have not been approachable, I apologize. I try to be. I try to be approachable. I might not be the nicest guy in the world, but I don't think I'm the biggest jerk. I might be on the jerk scale somewhere, but I don't think I'm the biggest one. Okay? As long as Brother Linus is here, I cannot be the big... Can you see how that tongue got away just like that? Look, here's what I'm saying. If you have a question, if there's something that you don't understand or something that's going on that you're just wondering about, or maybe you have heard something, maybe you just overheard something and it's bothering you, you can ask me. Little, big, it doesn't matter. You can ask me. We can talk about it. I would love to hear from you. I would come to you, and I have come to some of you. If I have questions about things, you could come to me as well. All of this boils down to this. The tongue, that fire, can destroy any church if we let it. We have something fantastic at Faith Baptist Church. Some of you don't know that because you've not been that many places. You've only been in a couple of churches. I've been out there. Preaching, filling in, looking for churches to attend. I know what's out there. This is not on every corner. Not every place out there is as special as this one. So, if we saw someone come through that door with a torch in their hand wanting to set this place on fire, we would rush the door with the hose in our hand and put out that fire and say, you're not bringing that in here. You're not burning our church down. We need to treat the devil and his gossip and his backbiting the same way. Stop it at the door. You're not bringing that in here. You're not going to set this place on fire. This place means too much to us. We're not going to let it happen. I don't want any raised hands. I don't want any nods or anything. I'm just asking you, would you resolve with me beginning right now to let God convict you and convince you and deal with these things and resolve starting today if this is a problem in your life? If it's not, okay, you learned some Bible this morning. If you were convicted in any way, would you resolve with me? Let's do something about it before anything happens. Preventative medicine. When we see something on the hill, hey, we better take care of this. Let's pray, and then we'll have a hymn, and maybe we all need to take some time and pray this morning. You know, I know we don't have altar calls here, but that doesn't mean that you can't, if you want to get out of your seat and come forward and pray at one of the pews. I do that myself sometimes. That's fine. Pray right there in your pew. You don't have to sing this hymn. Don't worry about it. Don't even open up the hymnal. If you need to pray, you just sit there and pray. But if God is dealing with you, let Him deal with you and do business with Him. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for what it means to us. We thank You for everything that You have done for us. Lord, we just come to You and ask that You would look at all of our hearts and examine us. And any of us that are found wanting in this area, that you would convict us. You would show us the people that we need to get right with, and that you would help us today to put our foot down and say no more, no further, and help us to protect this church, our families, our homes, our jobs, that can be our friendships, that can be so damaged by the tongue. Lord, I know that you wanted this preached today. Now I pray that you would do the work that you need to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to 3:26. You know, it's awful hard to talk about people when your eyes are on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.